2 weeks ago, I challenged you to study John chapter 15. John chapter 15. As we went through the series on how to study the Bible and apply it to daily life. And so you can find your place there once again in the Gospel of John. Gospel of John and chapter 15. The Lord Jesus gives us a wonderful illustration here of the vine, the branches, and the husbandman. The vine, the branches, and the husbandman. As we walked through this passage last week, we have seen a few things along the journey here. It's a beautiful passage. We looked last week at some of the background of this passage. This illustration is very helpful and practical for us to understand how to follow Christ and how to be a faithful disciple. As we walked through last week in studying this particular passage, starting with reading the Word of God, right? Point number one of how to study the Bible was to familiarize yourself with the passage. Familiarize yourself with the passage. Then we talked about utilizing a notebook, right, to write things down. Then we talked about looking up unfamiliar and key words, okay? And I gave you some encouragement on that a few weeks ago. But as we looked up some of these words last week in the message, one of the words I want to make sure that you understand is found here in verse 1. And so let's notice that. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Jesus is speaking, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. What is a husbandman? Well, a husbandman is a vine dresser. He's he takes care of the vineyard. He's the farmer. And so the husbandman, I want to take some time today to focus on the husbandman. But before we do, I want to look down at a few other words here that are key to the passage. In verse 2, Jesus says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So here we have the husbandman caring for the vine, caring for the branches. And as the husbandman does that, notice here in verse 2, about the middle of the verse, it says he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The word purge means to cleanse of filth or impurity. Of course, as it applies to caring for a vine, we would call that pruning, okay? Pruning, cleaning up a vine, taking away that which is hindering its overall health and fruitfulness. And so this is interesting. In fact, I just went on the internet and I typed in how to prune a grapevine. All right? And I'm going to share just a couple of things from this little article here on gardeningknowhow.com, all right? It says this, pruning grapes is a vital part of their overall health. Now, remember the application of this whole illustration of God's care for us, the Heavenly Father caring for His children, for the branches which are connected to the vine. And so the article reads here, it's a very important, it's a vital part of the overall health of the vine to do regular pruning. It is essential for controlling grape canes and the quality of fruit. So, how and when to prune a grapevine? Grapes should be pruned during their dormancy, usually in late winter. When it comes to pruning grapes, the most common mistake people make is not pruning hard enough. Light pruning doesn't promote adequate fruiting, whereas heavy pruning provides the greatest quality of grapes. Knowing how to prune grapes can make the difference between a good crop and a bad one. When pruning grapes, you'll want to cut off as much of the old wood as possible. This will encourage the growth of new wood, which is where the fruit is produced. prune old neglected vines in stages. If they've been neglected too long, you have to be careful not to prune too much at one time. Interesting. Now there's more, of course, in the article, but those were some key things I had highlighted, which I believe give some insight as we delve into this passage. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the vine. We're talking about the Heavenly Father, the husbandman, who cares for the vine, for the branches. And right away, God tells us, Jesus tells us here, that the Father purges the vine. Those branches that are bearing fruit, in verse 2, he says, he purges them so they'll bring forth more fruit. He prunes them. The beautiful thing about the Heavenly Father is his timing is perfect. He doesn't ever prune too hard or not enough. He knows how to care for the vine. He knows what each branch needs, what stage each branch is at. And as it applies to us as different individuals at different places in our life, the Heavenly Father knows exactly what is needed to spur us on to growth and fruitfulness. As we respond to the Heavenly Father's care, and as we drink in the Lord Jesus sap, we can be a fruit-bearing Christian. Now, as I pointed out last week, this passage is not primarily written. It's not written on how to get saved, okay? That's not the primary thrust of the passage. This passage, as we noted last week, was actually a special and private conversation between Jesus and 11 of his disciples on the night he was arrested and the next day crucified on the cross. And so if we were to read the broader passage, we can see actually several chapters here, Jesus having a private conversation with those 11 disciples, Judas Iscariot having gone out and would later that evening betray Jesus. And so this is to those who have trusted Jesus as their Savior. I want you to notice a couple of things. Verse 3, for example, John 15, verse 3. As Jesus speaks, he says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Ye are clean. Clean has the idea of being purged from sin, being purged from filth. The interesting thing here is that the word clean in the Greek language and the word purged or purgeth, they are related. In fact, clean is the root word of purge. Okay? So in verse 3, Jesus says, ye are. You have been purged. You have been cleaned. And I want you to notice another aspect here as Jesus talks with his disciples. Let's back up into the same evening, but in chapter 13. John chapter 13, beginning with verse 9. John 13, verse 9. This is that same evening. Judas Iscariot is with them, so it's Jesus and the 12 disciples at this point. And notice what Jesus is doing. He's washing their feet, which was a custom of that time. But he's not just washing their... It's not normal for the master to wash feet. But in that culture, of course, they wore sandals. It was dusty. And so this was a common thing that you would be kind to someone at your house and offer them, you know, to wash their feet or have a basin of water available for them to wash their own feet. But Jesus here is giving us an example of service, how we need to serve one another and care for one another. And so he is washing the disciples' feet. Verse 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. So, Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. He comes to Peter. Peter says, Oh, Lord, no, don't wash my feet. And Peter is not, he's not proud. He's not stuck up. That's not the problem here. He's not like, oh, no, you're not going to touch me. No, not at all the case. The attitude here is, Lord, you're my master. Like, I'm not going to let you serve me. Like, I should be washing your feet. You know, that's the attitude here. Peter's like, No, Lord, I mean, you're my master. So Jesus answers in the middle of verse 8. He says, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. All right, so then Peter's tune changes and says in verse 9, He saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He says, Peter says, Well, if that's what it means, if it's closer fellowship with you, Lord, he says, then wash me all. You know, just wash me hands and feet and everything. Verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, notice what it says, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean. There's that same Greek word that we find in John 15, ye are clean. And so here Jesus says, He that is washed save not to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, or completely, he's completely clean every part. Ye are clean, he says in verse 10. Ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So here, that same evening, Jesus says to the disciples, Ye are clean. You are purged from sin. You're cleansed. I believe Jesus is talking to 11 men, well, he's talking to 12. One of them was not clean. 11 of them were right with God. 11 of them were believers. 11 of them were saved. And he says, Ye are clean. Ye are clean. When we come here to John chapter 15, and Jesus reiterates, just perhaps an hour later, verse 3, Ye are clean. Through the word which I have spoken unto you. I want you to understand that John 15 is not teaching us how to get saved. It's teaching saved people how to be disciples. Disciples. It's teaching a disciple how to be faithful. How to be a fruit-bearing Christian. Not just be a Christian. But how to really walk with God and how to do the work of God. We see that as the thrust of the passage. Now, we understand here that the husbandman plays an important role in our lives. In caring for the vine, the husbandman, the vine dresser knows how to prune us so that we can be a fruit-bearing Christian. I want you to notice three things about the husbandman. First of all, the husbandman purposefully prunes each branch. The husbandman purposefully prunes each branch. In other words, it's not random. It's not, well, what should we do today? You know, it's purposeful. And as he prunes each branch, it's very specific. As we read this article on pruning, we understand that the timing of pruning is important. It's not just, hey, this needs to go, but there's a right time to do the snipping, right? There's a time, of course, in horticulture, there's a time that is critical. Now, as it relates to God working in your life and mine, God knows the timing, and it's not just winter. Right? God works in summer too. God knows when to work, for the seasons of our life are different than the four seasons of our world. And you understand how God knows the timing. He knows what needs to go also. I mean, God never snips something out of our life. He's never saying, as the word is preached or as we read God's word in our, you know, in the morning, or something like that. When God speaks to us, when he puts his finger on something, it's like, that's not right. That's got to go. And it's like, we're tempted to say no to the husbandman, to the vine dresser. We're tempted to say, no, I want to keep that. We're tempted to push his word aside and to go on holding those sprouts or whatever on our vine, on our branch, that are actually hindering us from being a fruit-bearing disciple. So timing is important. Knowing what needs to go and what needs to be encouraged is important. And the Heavenly Father knows that. I noticed as I read the article here, it said something about, yeah, here it is. It says, knowing how to prune grapes can make the difference between a good crop and a bad one. When pruning grapes, you'll want to cut off as much of the old wood as possible. You know, as I thought about that, I thought, you know, as God trims, as he prunes our lives, you know, sometimes we tend to want to coast on previous gains, right? We want to surf from yesterday's wind, right? We say, oh yeah, I've read my Bible. I don't need to read it again. I had devotions, must have been last month. Why do I need to read it today? Pray? I did that yesterday. God is telling us old growth. You know, in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. You know, in that illustration of Philippians 3, the illustration is there of a runner. You know, if you're a runner, it's not good to be running like this. Are they coming? Are they, you know? You will be behind or tripped flat on your face pretty soon with a crooked neck. If you're a runner, you need to just go. We were watching some go-karts here a week or two ago on YouTube. Racing, and you know, there was one of these go-kart drivers that was like, he was in first place, and you know, I'm sure it was just like casual, it wasn't some big competition or anything, but he was cruising along, he had one of the cams on his helmet, and he's driving along, and he's first. I mean, there's nobody in front, and he looks back, you know, and there's all these, you know, right behind him, and he keeps looking back, though. Of course, we know when he looks back, because the camera goes with him, right? And he looks back, and he looks back, and he looks back, and it wasn't too long when, he looked back, and somebody passed him, right? But if he had kept focused on the race before him, old growth, as it relates here, can actually, as it relates to a vine, if we're just trying to dwell on the past and what we have achieved previously, we need to press forward. You know, as it relates to being a father, a husbandman here is the Heavenly Father. You know, we as fathers have a big job. In fact, I think it's easier to run a business or a company or to work 70 hours a week than it is to be a father, quite frankly. The work of a father is difficult. The daily, the nitty-gritty of really, if you're going to raise your children, as the Bible says, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It takes dedication to stay and to stick by the stuff, to walk with God yourself. You know, as it relates to old growth, we can't say, hey, I used to spend time, or you know, we did that one weekend, you know, and should make up. No, it takes consistent involvement in our children's lives. and it takes a consistent present tense walk with God. You know, in this passage where Jesus says, abide in me, abide in the vine, the branch must stay connected to the vine, right? It's not, well, I was connected yesterday, so I guess I can disconnect today, right? No, it's a current, present tense, right? Abide. Abide. As fathers, we must abide. If we are going to walk with God, if we are going to influence our children and bring them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, we must be walking with God consistently. We can see here that there's pruning that takes place. And you know, some of the hard work of a father is guiding their children. The Bible says a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Right? In other words, children aren't made to be just brought into the world and left to themselves. Children are made to be guided. And that's a hard task. It's a high calling. We as fathers need to have purposeful pruning, just like our Heavenly Father has purposeful, timely pruning in our lives. Secondly, I want you to notice the husband not only purposefully prunes each branch, but the husbandman lovingly cares for the vine. He lovingly cares. It's a beautiful thing when Jesus says, my Father is the husbandman. You know, if you had someone who didn't care two licks about the branch, who was had a sharp pruning knife, I mean, that would be like, whoa, I don't want to subject myself to them, right? But when you have the loving Heavenly Father who not only knows what to do and he has a purposeful plan, but he is loving as he cares for us. The loving Heavenly Father. Look at John 14, verse 21. John 14, verse 21. The Bible says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The Father loves you. You know, friends, the Heavenly Father always works with love towards you. When he prunes, it's not only with purpose, but it's with love. He cares for the vine. You know, the Heavenly Father is not just a hireling. He wasn't just hired to do the job, right? He cares personally for your well-being. And that's the kind of care our children ought to feel as we husband, as the Bible word here, as we husband our children, as we father our children, as we guide them, that our care for them would be from our heart in love. The Father cares. I want you to notice back here in John chapter 10, just flip back a little bit, John chapter 10, there's actually dozens of cases here where Jesus talks about his Father. He says, my Father. And notice what it says here in John 10, an illustration here of sheep and a shepherd. And notice what it says in verse 27, John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Notice verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see, the Father cares for us. He protects us. We can see that protection there as he lovingly cares for us as his sheep. And so the Father is not a hireling, but rather a very caring husbandman. The role of a father we can see the example of our Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father not only lovingly cares, but He is consistently engaged in our lives. We too, as fathers, need to be that. The husbandman not only purposefully prunes each branch, lovingly cares for the vine and the branches, but number three, the husbandman expectantly looks for fruit. The husbandman expectantly looks for fruit. Notice what it says in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, or he prunes it, that it may bring forth, last two words, more fruit. The Heavenly Father, the husbandman, expectantly looks for fruit. Notice what it says down here in verse 8. It says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear, next two words, much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. The Father is looking for fruit. Much care has been taken to nurture the vine and the branches. The Heavenly Father has done much. And so, what fruit has He seen in your life? Even though this passage is not about how to be saved, I must ask the question, are you saved? Are you saved? The Heavenly Father loves you, but He's just your creator. He's not your shepherd if you're not saved. If you're not saved, you're not connected to the vine. If you're not saved, you're still in your sin. You're not clean. Jesus said to the disciples here, ye are clean. But if you're not saved, you're not clean. Because only the blood of my precious Savior washes sin away. You see, sometimes we as saved people need to get our feet washed again, right? Get some sin to confess, some things to make right. But we're clean. We're made right with God. But you know what? If you've never been made right with God, you are not clean. And we're not talking about the bathing kind of clean. We're talking about right with God, your sin forgiven. Jesus Christ came so that we could be saved. Jesus died on the cross for our sin. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? You know, I can't think of a more glorifying fruit to the Heavenly Father as your response to the beautiful gift of His Son. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you? Salvation isn't trying to do good, trying to do better, trying to live a good life. No, friend, you need to be washed. Without the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse your sin debt, you will never get clean. You don't get clean by doing a lot of good. You get clean by trusting Jesus to clean you. Jesus died so that we could be saved. He gave His life blood. The Bible tells us it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And so are you saved? The beautiful thing is that if you're not saved, you can be. Today can be the day that you trust Jesus. It's a transaction of faith, of trust. There's no class you have to go through to get saved. there's just the Savior to call on. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Have you trusted Him? The second question I have in closing is, are you surrendered? Are you saved? If you are you surrendered? Have you surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, are you abiding? Are you abiding in the vine? I want you to go to Romans chapter 6. Romans and chapter 6. The Bible writes here to Christians, to those who are saved in Romans 6. And notice verse 13. The Bible says, Romans 6 and verse 13. The Bible says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Let me ask you the question, have you yielded yourself unto God? You know, salvation through Jesus is not merely to change our eternal destiny, but God's purpose is to change us to holiness. His desire is that we would live for Christ, not for sin. That we would live godly, not in ungodliness. And so, the fruit. What does the husbandman see in your life? Have you responded to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your soul saved? And are you surrendered? In salvation, Jesus gave His all for you. The work is done. Trust Jesus today. In discipleship, we are called to give our lives for Jesus. This is our opportunity to serve Him, to love Him, to listen to His voice, to abide, to subject ourselves to His loving pruning, that we might be a fruit-bearing disciple. As a father, what kind of example are we in our home? Are we caring for the little branches, the little vines? Do we care enough to prune away things that are hindering Christ-like growth? Are we taking time to nurture? Are we consistently engaged? Are we giving that spiritual admonition that our family needs? God calls us as fathers to lovingly lead our home. Thank God for our Heavenly Father, who is a faithful caretaker. What kind of a caretaker am I? Are we? Are you? A few lessons from the vine, the branches, and the husbandman. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. I thank You for the simple illustrations that You give us to help us understand discipleship, help us to understand the life of dependence that You want us to have on Yourself as we abide. And as You prune in our lives, sometimes pruning is uncomfortable. But Lord, help us to subject ourselves to Your loving and caring and timely prune shears. Lord, we thank You for this. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, is there anybody today who would say, "Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. With a raised hand, I won't point you out, won't embarrass you in any way, but with heads bowed, with eyes closed, anybody with a raised hand to indicate, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I see that. Anybody else? I'm not sure that I'm saved. All right. Anybody else on another point would say, I'm not sure that I'm surrendered. I'm saved, but I've been fighting God. I know he's pruning some things in my life, and I've not been cooperating very well. Anybody like that? Say, pray for me. Yes, I see that. Anybody? Yes, I see that. Anybody else? Yes. Anybody else? Heavenly Father, I thank you for these who have raised the hand and for your work in the hearts. Lord, for this one that raised the hand regarding salvation, I pray that you'd continue your work, that you'd give understanding of the gospel. I pray, Lord, that for those who indicated the battle, the struggle of things that you're talking to them about, that there's been this difficulty to yield. And I pray that you would just bring them to that place of submission and of obedience, and that you would help them to let go and to trust you. Lord, we thank you for this. Lord, I do pray that you would bless each of the fathers gathered here. I know that sometimes in this world there's so few fathers who will live for Jesus, who will stand for what is right, and who will guide their family in the Word of God. And I pray that you'd help myself and help each of the fathers that are even represented in this congregation, Lord, that you'd help us to walk with you faithfully. Lord, we know that the road is hard and that the task is difficult, but help us to be faithful. Give us wisdom in caring for the tender plants. Lord, we thank you for this. Bless each father on this day, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.